I read a little excerpt by Mr. Spurgeon, and he said, "Do not forget that you were once the servant of the devil. Now that you've broken free by the power of the gospel, or the Lord has set you free, do not think the devil is going to give up. He is still going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And you and I are pilgrims, strangers in the devil's territory. He claims he wants to be the God of this world. He wants to rule here, and he wants you back into his fold." Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and it is always a privilege to minister the Lord's Word to you wherever you may be today. At the close of the program, we're going to be telling the story of the little dog in Greyfriars graveyard who lay upon his master's grave for 12 years. Our subject today is God's faithfulness, even in our temptation. And God's faithfulness is found everywhere, in the seasons of the year, springtime, harvest, winter, cold, night and day, the covenant of the rainbow. God's faithfulness is in the gospel. He made a covenant with his Son. Jesus bought them by his blood, and Christ will raise them up one day, presenting us to the Father. This is the blessedness of being a Christian, that we are in the family of God. That leads us to our hymn, "Savior, like a shepherd, lead us." We are indeed a sheep under the care of a shepherd. Shepherds in Bible times were with the sheep night and day, and cared for them at all times and in all situations, led them to their watering place, led them to the green pastures, lay them in the sunny hour of the day in the place of rest and quiet, and it brought tremendous peace just to know the shepherd was with them. His very presence brought about a contentment among the sheep. And it is the presence of the Lord that we need in our lives, just to know that we have the Savior with me. We have that hymn in our hymn book. We sing, "I must have the Savior with me, for I dare not trust in myself. I dare not walk alone." And that's what we do not wish to do in the Christian life. And so the best thing to do is keep up prayer, keep up our Bible reading, and seek the Lord earnestly every day. So let's just unite and ask the Lord to draw near to us. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We come pleading the precious, precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And we ask that you will be our covenant shepherd, the one who has undertaken to be with us day and night, the God who neither slumbers nor sleeps, who keepeth Israel. And we commit our souls and our ways to thee, and pray that our hearts may be kept, and that our feet may be guided into that right pathway. So bless and minister through your word today to each and every heart. We plead, we pray, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Savior, like a shepherd, blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are.
Is faithful. He will not allow us or suffer us to be tempted above what we're able, and will, for his children who want to be delivered, he will open a way of escape. How do you preach on this? How do you take this text and make it profitable to our hearts here tonight? Well, I have five thoughts on this. I'm only getting to this message now. Number one, we lean on God's faithfulness when we trust in his providence. He makes a way of escape. That's what he says right here in this verse. He makes a way of escape. He controls the temptation. He holds back Satan. He holds back our own lusts. He holds back the circumstances around us, and we're told here that God makes, or he creates, a way out, a way of escape. How can God do that? Well, he subdues hearts. The passion, the lust of the human heart is unbounded, but God subdues it. And by his Spirit, he subdues the heart by regeneration and by sanctification. It's a purifying work. And he gives us hearts that are truly yearning to be holy and pure. And he can take away that passion. There's a great example of this I've come up with in the book of Genesis. If you remember Jacob and Esau, how they fell out. And Jacob stole the birthright from Esau. He went away off, and for about 20 years he prospered, and then when he was coming back and he was facing Esau again, and Esau, it seems, was coming with his bands of army, and Jacob was fearful that Esau was going to wipe him off the map. And he prayed, and he prayed to God all night. The next morning, you remember how he positioned his wives, his favorite wife, he put in the background, and he put the various family, and he lined them all up in a various way that when Esau would come and his wrath, his favorite would be protected. But it turned out that God had heard prayer, and Esau's wrath was turned away. There was no war. There was no battle. There was a reconciliation between Jacob and Esau. God subdued the bitterness, the hatred of Esau. And so God answered prayer for Jacob that night. And when you are in the battle against wickedness and enemies, lust, God can subdue. He can subdue the enemy's heart, and he can subdue your heart, which is like, the human heart is like a tinder box, and it only takes a little strike of a match to set it on fire. But he can subdue our hearts. So he subdues hearts, he changes circumstances as well, so that you are not continually faced with the same temptation. And I thought about Joseph. Joseph, he was hated by his brothers, put into a pit, sold down to Egypt, put into Potiphar's house. And you remember how Potiphar's wife tempted him, and he fled from the home, ended up in jail, and then eventually raised to be as the prime minister in charge of the affairs of Egypt. What a change of circumstances. Didn't make life particularly easy for Joseph for many years. But that's really the story of the Christian. You've got to realize that God is faithful. He makes a way of escape by changing circumstances. So you can get on your knees and say, Lord, I can't handle this. I need you to work it out. And the Lord is faithful. He can also open another door. And God, in his power and providence, he can close a door or he can open a door. And you remember how the Lord Jesus taught us to pray, the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. Should be the daily prayer of a Christian. Lead me not into temptation. You get up in the morning, going to school, going to work, meeting the world. Many events and situations can arise. We have to pray, Lord, don't lead me into temptation. And there could be someone around the corner, some trap that's been set, something the devil would want to happen. But Lord, you're faithful. And I'm going to trust your providence. The other thing that God uses, and we must lean on the faithfulness of God, and that is to trust in the gospel itself. Now, what would be a great study in this area would be Ephesians 6, the Christian armor. And you know how Paul described the Christian as a soldier, and the enemy shooting his darts at him, and there was the breastplate of faith and the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith and the breastplate of righteousness, all to stand against the darts of the enemy. Now that is a picture of the gospel. The shoes are the preparation of the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation, that whole picture. Now, if you're going to stand against the attacks and the temptations of this world, we are instructed to put on the whole armor of God, or another verse says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ that you might not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And so every day we are to clothe ourselves and stand in the power of the gospel. Now that seems to be a very low-key, mundane answer to temptation, but that is the real answer. The answer is not techniques. The answer is the provision of Calvary. And if we can tap into the victory of the cross, we get the victory in our lives, in our hearts, subduing our passions, giving us strength to overcome the enemy. We read in Revelation 12, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. These are people in heaven. Some were martyrs, but they were faithful. They didn't surrender. They were true to God, and they're in heaven. Their testimony was that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. And so we need to be tapping into God's faithfulness by the application or appropriating the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Of course, we lean on God's faithfulness when we use his word. And we're back to this book. And we have to be unashamed and unapologetic. This book is our sword. It's a two-edged sword. It defends and it attacks. And it is God's weapon to us that we might face and stand against temptation. And if we really believe that we're trusting in God's faithfulness, we've got to come to his promises, his word, which he has given to us over and over and over. Now, I feel like I'm being very shallow in going through this list. But there's one text that really stands out. John 17:17, where Jesus prayed for his disciples. And he just said, Lord, I'm not praying you take them out of the world, but I'm praying that you keep them in the world. And then the Lord Jesus prayed, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify means to purify. It means to set us apart. It means to make us peculiar, different, pure, holy, clean. And Jesus prayed for his people that the Father would sanctify us. And he does it through the word. And this is nothing new. It's as old as Methuselah. The Christian's battle is in the mind. Satan's assaults, Satan's lies, Satan's attacks come to the Christian's mind. And we've got to fill our minds with God's truth. Bible memorization, meditation on the word. Meditation is like the cow that chews its cud. If you ever watch a cow out in the pasture, it just gorges itself on grass or hay or whatever it's being fed. And then it will sit down, but it's not totally resting. It chews its cud. It's a ruminant. It moves the food from one stomach to the other. And it brings up the food and chews it and sends it back down to another compartment. I remember a vet telling me when I was on the farm that if an animal is healthy, it will chew its cud approximately 30 times. So that grass it brings up out of one stomach into its mouth, it will chew and grind on it, and you can count 30 times until the big gulp, the swallow of that mushy mass going down into the next stomach. That is a picture of meditation. We gorge ourselves on Sundays, I'm sure. We come to Sunday school, we come to the services, we read and preach the word. But we've got to meditate on it. Meditate. And the Lord says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in you. And that's getting harder today than ever before. Never was there a time when Christians are bombarded with so much stuff that you just want to turn off. We've all got these devices we carry, and we want to be in contact with the whole big wide world all the time, and we're getting bombarded with information, news, emails, and messages from all quarters. It's hard to discipline yourself to meditate on God's word. But brothers and sisters, this is the victory. When we let this word dwell in our hearts richly, we're taking the sword of the Spirit and we're standing against the powers of the devil. Number four is prayer. We lean on God's faithfulness when we turn to the Lord in prayer. Let's go to Matthew 26:41, and here we have a word of warning from the Lord himself. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. For God to be faithful, we've got to cry to him to give us the escape that he has promised. We've got to come to the Lord earnestly with all our hearts and say, now, Lord, you've promised a way of escape, that we will be delivered from temptation. Lord, give that way out. Cry to God. Pray for an open door to flee and power to run. Pray for grace to bear the evil. And of course, pray for the Holy Spirit to come and keep you alert, keep you awake. A soldier who's on watch, one of the enemies is asleep. And we have an enemy of being off guard. And we need to be alert at all times. And so if we want to overcome temptation, we need to cry to the Lord that we be delivered from temptation. Number five, to lean on the faithfulness of God, we need to flee from idolatry. And I include this because Paul did in verse 14, back in 1 Corinthians 10. The verse 13 was our text. Verse 14, you have the wherefore. It's the linking word. It's the logic word that Paul is using. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. If God is faithful, and he's the one we're depending on, the last thing you want to do is to turn away from the true God to any false god. Now that, as I described, was the danger of Christians at Corinth because of all the forms of idolatry that were around them. It was in every corner. There were shrines. There were festivities. There were meats in the marketplace dedicated to idols. And Christians had to weed out through all of that they didn't themselves fall into a form of idolatry. But man's heart is a factory of idols. We have the ability to make a god at any time at our own pleasure with our own imagination. And we need to be delivered from any substitute to trusting in God. I can make a god out of my theories. I can make a god out of my own denomination. Free Presbyterianism will not make me a strong Christian. It's a framework in which I serve as a church, but it will not give me strength. I cannot depend upon the framework of my service to strengthen me against temptation. I've got to lean on the Lord. Don't make an idol out of church. Don't make an idol out of a denomination. Don't make an idol out of our theory or anything else. Alcoholics Anonymous comes to mind. Some people depend on that to deliver them from substance abuse. I learned recently that they have just thrown out God out of the formula. And whatever the steps they have, they are more principles than the Lord. We've got to be on our guard that we don't go back or turn away from the God who is faithful. We've got to obey this commission. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest we fall. And we need to obey God, as Abram did. And we've got to trust in God's keeping power. Jude said, unto him that is able to keep you from falling. The one who has the greatest success rate at keeping his people is God himself. We've got to trust him and rejoice that God is faithful and that he will open up a way of escape so that we are able to bear the temptation and flee. Use the escape route. And when it comes to lust, temptation, whether it's the internet, pornography, obscenity that can be on television or newspapers or journals, we've got to use the way of escape and pray that God will enable us to run, that he will deliver us from that temptation. Now, God calls us to separate from the world. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And I will receive you. Here's the promise to that command. I will receive you and be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters. What a wonderful, faithful God we have. He wants us to live in his strength, depending on him, enjoying his faithfulness. That is our strong tower and our hope in the hour of temptation. Run to him. Run to him. Run to him. Use the way of escape. And there are times when a Christian may come under fearful temptation and you feel weak. You've got to get on your knees and pray like never before. And pray for the victory that God will give you that way of escape. And he will. He promises. He promises. And that way we glorify him in the victory as he strengthens us and delivers us. What a wonderful thing we have, the faithfulness of God, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to share with you this message from the Bible on God's faithfulness. You know, in this world, faithfulness is found in many ways, in many places, even amongst animals. Years ago, a shepherd came in from the country district to the city of Edinburgh, Scotland. He brought with him a little dog. The man died while he was in the city and was buried in Greyfriars churchyard. The little dog made its way through the iron gates and lay down upon the grave of its master. It didn't lie there merely for a day or a week or a month. It lay there 12 years. Every day at 1 o'clock, they fire the gun in the castle in Edinburgh. Then everyone looks at his watch to see the time. The little dog would run from the churchyard as soon as it heard the shot to a local baker, who gave it a pie and some water. Then the dog would go back to the grave again. There it lay until he died. What fidelity, what faithfulness that little dog displayed. Be thou faithful unto death. If there's anything that should mark the Christian character, is that we are found faithful. When the Lord returns, he will be looking to find us faithful in his service. Indeed, we are commanded to be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And so as we serve the Lord in these treacherous days, when the world is so strong, when Satan is so busy, when we are often downcast, let us put into practice the spirit of faithfulness. And of course, we're only imitating the God whom we serve and the Christ who loved us by following in his footsteps. Thank you for joining with us. May the Lord continue to speak to your heart, and I trust you'll join us tomorrow again. But now we're moving to our few announcements. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. We are located 2 blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.